If you want to turn to Matthew chapter 1, you can. We're going to stay in Matthew. The title of this message is Being Associated with God. Being Associated with God. So when Ricky was preaching last week, and I was listening to him talk about the benefits. The word benefits just kind of stood out to me, and Rusty preached about relentless expectation a few weeks ago. I want to major on the benefits of God. Now, I'm going to go through the Christmas story. You're probably like, Christmas in August. Yes, Christmas in August. Yep, we're getting Christmas in August today. I want to take you through, I'd read these scriptures the other day, and when you start in verse 1, you get through about, you know, verse 15 or so. It talks about all the, you know, who begat this and who begat that, you know. None of that really matters, and you don't really focus on those things because it's just who begat who. But when you start researching it, it's actually trying to set you up to reveal to you the perfection of God. It says there were 14 generations, then there were 14 more, and then there were 14 more generations. Three times. And then Jesus. There's something about numbers with God. God loves numbers. God loves to work in things in patterns. He likes to make things awesome so that when they're revealed to you, you're like, wow, that's amazing. How could that possibly have happened? That's why God used prophecy so much. So that when you studied and found out that at the very perfect time, Jesus is born on the earth, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years prior to Jesus even getting there, the stars were aligning. But I want to focus on the story of Joseph and Mary and the benefits we have. And yes, this is a prosperity message about the things that you possess. We've already spent a lot of time on Deuteronomy 28 about who we are in Christ and all the benefits that come with that of being. And this, you know, that's Old Testament. That's Torah stuff. That's thousands of years before Jesus even got here. About the blessings that are forced upon you if you will just do what God says. The blessing will be commanded to follow you, to seek you out, to find you. So when Ricky was preaching on the benefits last week, it just kind of stuck with me when I was reading. You know, I read through the Bible. I've done it twice. And now I've just kind of been, you know, all over just reading a variety of books. And I just decided to start in Matthew and just read. And I read this and I was like, there's three different, you know, I think there's four different times that an angel appears. Three different times to Joseph and one time to the Magi. But the benefits that we have and what Joseph and Mary had associated with Jesus and helping them protect the Savior and how God intervened when bad guys were trying to kill people, when bad guys were trying to kill Jesus. Being associated with God has always come with benefits. You've always heard about fire insurance. Amen? Saved from hell. You don't have to go to hell. That's fire insurance. We've always heard that one. But what about health plans? Did you know God cares about your health? Did you know God cares that you take care of your temple? That's why He said your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Take care of it. He doesn't need you sleeping in a hospital bed. God came to put the funeral homes and the hospitals out of business. Amen? You're not designed to be sick. The benefits of being associated with God is blessing in your health. What about bonuses? I mean, if you're talking about the blessing of God in Deuteronomy 28, the bonuses are everything that your hands touches will prosper. What about retirement plans? I mean, that's the whole purpose of salvation, right? The retirement plan is we inherit everything we didn't even work for. We didn't have to put in anything towards that. We didn't have to go and invest in gold so that God would have gold streets. No, we're not sending your tithes and offerings up to God every week so that He can pay to get the streets made of gold. There's an unlimited supply of fine jewelry and crowns. All these magnificent things that you will inherit when you get to heaven. That's why your life on earth is so important. Don't think that salvation is the only thing. Because when you get to heaven, I think you're going to be known by what you did here. And that's a pretty big revelation. Because if all you have is the crown of salvation, the crown that says, hey, you got saved, but you don't have, say, a crown of, you know, you've got the crown of righteousness, but you also get a crown for getting other people saved. That's going to be a pretty important one. Because when you get there one day, that person that got saved because you helped them get saved is going to be there to greet you one day. So you better take it to heart, because that's one thing that's wrong with Christianity today, is they think they can just go to church and live like hell during the week. Live and talk and say everything that sounds like hell, but yet I'm still saved and I still go to church. You're going to be held accountable for that. You're going to be held accountable for everything that you know. If you get the mindset, well, I just don't want to know anything. I just want to know who Jesus is and get saved. I don't want to read the Bible and know all those things. Wrong attitude. That's a wrong way to look at things. So, let's start in verse 18. Chapter 1, verse 18. It says, now the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the power of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her promised husband, being a just and righteous man, and not wanting to expose her publicly to shame, planned to send her away and divorce her quietly. Okay, let's stop right there. Now, benefits of God is He will show you how to handle surprises. Did you notice? Okay, this is what I think is very interesting about Joseph. The angel didn't go to Joseph and say, hey, Gabriel's going to go to Mary and she's going to be pregnant through the Holy Ghost. He didn't do that, did he? And nowhere does it say that the angel went and visited Joseph first. Gabriel came to Mary first. Now Joseph has found out, and it's for, you know, this would be tough for anybody. For him to find out that the one he's about to marry is pregnant. So God intervenes. If you read the Message translation, it says he was chagrined but noble. Now, if you define chagrined, it means distressed or embarrassed at having, you know, failed or been humiliated. Okay, so Joseph is feeling humiliated, and he's thinking to himself, but you know, the Bible also says he's a noble man. And noble defined as having or showing fine personal qualities or high moral principles and ideals. Joseph had a good heart about this. He didn't understand it at first. He didn't know what was going on. But the angel appears and explains it all to him. And then Joseph gets to thinking, you know, you're right. It was prophesied that there would be a virgin that gives birth to the Savior. Can you imagine getting that, receiving that in a dream? You're laying there and all of a sudden, you know, the one that you're about to marry is the one that's bringing the Savior into the earth. I mean, that must have been one heck of a morning. Hey, Mary, this is fantastic. He was chagrined but noble. You see, I wrote this down. I don't think Joseph had to be part of the Jesus story. I don't know if this was a test for Joseph or what. I don't know. I'm not saying it is. I'm not saying it wasn't. But, you know, if I was God and I was thinking, you know what, I better tell Joseph before Gabriel goes and tells Mary. But that's not the way it happened. I don't know. So if you think about it being a test, maybe God was testing. You know, this is hypothetical. Maybe he was testing Joseph to see how he would react. And he was found to be a noble man. And that's why he visited. Because Joseph could have easily said, all right, get out of here. You know, this is over. You know, he could have just went the opposite way, the negative way, the get out of my house. I don't want to have anything to do with you. But no, he had enough mercy in his heart towards Mary to help even protect her. So God finds him to be a noble man and show mercy in his heart towards Mary. God intervened. God knew his heart was right. I don't know if it was a test for Joseph, but God did allow him to be part of Jesus' life. He didn't have to. They weren't even married yet. He didn't have to allow Joseph to be a part. Mary would have been fine. But if you'll notice that every time there was major movement going on, the angel visited Joseph, not Mary. Gabriel came to tell Mary, hey, you're going to be pregnant. After that, the angel always comes to Joseph to tell Joseph what to do next. He allowed Joseph, because of his heart, to be a part of the Jesus story. I never thought of it that way. They're not married yet, and I never realized that the angel never told Joseph until after he found out. Verse 20. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, descendant of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Benefits of God, number two, if you're taking notes. He shows us how to handle relationships. That's a benefit of God. There's a lot of considering in relationships, isn't there? Think about all your relationships that you have. People, your family, yeehaw, amen. You don't have to agree with them, but you have to love them, amen. The same with your coworkers, the same with all the sinners, the same with all the hell raisers, and all the people that are not saved. You don't have to like them, but God commanded you to love them. But the good thing is, God will teach you how to handle those relationships. One of the benefits of God is teaching you how to deal with other people. Lord knows we all need that. Even other Christians sometimes, amen? Even dealing with people that go to church with you. You think Pastor Corey hadn't dealt with some stuff with other Christians? There were people tried to shut him down and try to move him out of here. He's the one that started the church. And they're like, well, you got to have a board, and you got to have all this, and you should do things this way and this way. Well, then he should have called you to start it, not Corey. But it didn't work that way, did it? No, it didn't work that way. Even other Christians can give Christians a hard time. But the way you handle it, when you learn how to have a good heart about those things, God will intervene for you. And He will speak to you on how to. He'll even give you phrases to say to that person. He'll even tell you what to say next to that one person, or to that collection of people, to the collective or to the individual. He will tell you what to say. And sometimes when you say something, and usually the right words will change the whole relationship. You know, the scripture tells you, you know, those, you know, good words, you know, it settles a feud. It settles, when there's a disagreement or if there's anger towards one another. Right words and comforting words of love always settle disputes. You're not going to fix anything with road rage, amen? You're going to settle things with, I'm sorry, I pulled out in front of you. Man, have a great day. I know it's hard to say it that way sometimes, but when the guy behind you gets mad because you pulled out in front of them and they get out of their car, you see them on Facebook all the time. They get out of the car, they start fighting right on the road. Dumbest thing ever, you could get run over. What happens if the fight leads into another lane and somebody doesn't see you? You see how right words, calming words, soothing words can settle disputes. It's usually the pride that's in your heart that says, I'm going to knock this sucker out. I'm so mad. It's fight time. There's going to be people ask you to cheat for them, steal. There's going to be people that they're going to ask you to do things that don't line up with your beliefs as it relates to being noble and having moral integrity. There's going to be people ask you to do those things, and you're going to have to say no. You find out who people really are when you learn to say no. Tell your kids no one time, see how they respond. Amen. You'll find out what they feel at that moment. Verse 21. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus. The Lord is salvation, for he will save his people from their sins. All this happened in order to fulfill what the Lord has spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and give birth to a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which when translated means God with us. So, benefits of God. If you're taking notes, he shows you how to rename your problems. If you can learn how to rename your problems. Joseph looked at this as, hey, the person I'm about to marry is pregnant, and it wasn't me. God intervenes and says, she's going to give birth, and this is what you're going to call him, and this is what it means. Benefits of God. He shows you how to rename your problems. What Joseph thought was a problem was actually salvation. This surprise shall be named Emmanuel, which means God with us. When you can learn to look at your problems differently, it'll change your whole life. You're not losing anymore, you're learning. You're either winning or you're learning. Even in life, if you're there's going to be times when you're winning, and there's going to be times when you decide, you know what, I'm going to sin. And then on the flip side, the Holy Ghost is going to be convicting you, and then you're going to be like, man, why did I do that? That's learning. And sometimes, if you're as dumb as I were in high school, there was lots of learning. Amen? You learn, you're like, oh, man. You learn, oh, man, why did I do it? You learn, and oh, man, 3 times, 4 times, 5, 7, 8 times, 12 times. It's not a job loss. It's a new job opportunity. When you learn to look at job loss as a new opportunity to have a new job, to learn something new, to learn a new trade or whatever, that's how you rename your problems. It's not a health problem, but a healing opportunity. You don't have a health problem. You have an opportunity to be healed. The lady that went through the crowd who could have gotten really big trouble for walking through the crowd while she was sick, trying to get to Jesus' garment, could have gotten really big trouble. But she didn't look at her problem as, I'm going to be sick forever. I guess this is just what God intended for me. This is the way it's going to be. No, she looked at it as an opportunity to reach. She looked at it as an opportunity to reach for something that could fix the problem. See, that's most of the time when you have a problem, it's probably because you have a reaching problem. You don't know how to reach for something that's higher. You don't know how to reach for God and say, hey, God, how do I fix this? You don't know how to go to the prayer closet and learn how to worship God and try to figure out how to fix what you just broke or what somebody else broke. It's not the loss of a friend, but an opportunity to make new friends. How many of you have lost friends because you come to church? Everybody. You don't have to raise your hand. Can if you want, but I'm pretty sure it's probably most of you. When you start changing your lifestyle, you'll find out who your friends are. And sometimes they'll just be, you know, they'll be your friend. They just won't be the friends you hang out with anymore. They'll still be your acquaintance, but they just won't be the people you hang out with anymore. And that's okay. Because when you're reaching forward, you can't hang on to the ones that are behind you. You got to reach for something higher. You got to reach for God. God doesn't check your past or your credit score to find out how successful you should be. When you start reaching for God, it doesn't matter if it's money, it doesn't matter if it's for your spiritual life, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, investigating or trying to research speaking in tongues or tithes and offerings or all those things that are taking another step to another level, God is there to answer your questions when you're reaching. Those are opportunities to reach. You don't have a money problem, maybe you have a reaching problem. You have a, I don't know how to seek out the answer problem. What do you do when you want to learn how to invest money? You go and reach or seek out people who have invested money or people that are wealthy that know how to invest money. Chapter 2, watch this, verse 6. Or I'm sorry, verse 24, chapter 1. Then Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and he took Mary to his home as his wife. Good thing he did, amen. His life would have been totally different. He got to hang out with the Savior of all humanity. This could have went totally the other direction for him. Could have been a totally different story for Joseph. Benefits of God. He gives you peace about the surprises so that you can act on what God has told you to do. He gives you peace about the surprises. Now, some surprises are good, but I'm talking about the ones that are confusing or bad, and you're thinking to yourself, oh my gosh, what just happened? He gives you peace about the surprises. All right, chapter 2, verse 6. Okay, so now we're moving into, here come the Magi. They're seeking out, you know, they're seeking out the Savior of all humanity. Herod finds out about it. Herod's wanting to talk to him, find out what's going on, because Herod thinks his rulership is a threat. You know, whoever this king is, he might be a threat to me. Verse 6, it says, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah." So he's talking to the high priest, and they're saying, "You know what? The prophet explained it perfectly. He'll come out of Bethlehem." Okay, so in verse 6 it says, "And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not any way less among the leaders of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Okay, now if you read the Message translation, it says, "It's you, Bethlehem, no longer bringing up the rear." So you think about a line. There's always, you know, in a line, there's always a leader, there's people in between, and then there's people at the back. No longer are you bringing up the rear. In your life, one of the benefits of God, being associated with God, moves you from the back of the line to the front. What did Deuteronomy chapter 28 say? You'll be the head and not the tail. The tail don't do much thinking or getting you anywhere, but the head does. Amen? The head will take you places you've never been before. Your thoughts, everything that's within you. You are above, the Bible says in Deuteronomy 28, and not beneath. You see how being associated with God takes you to another level? It takes you up. God never leaves you where you are. You stay where you are because you choose to stay where you are. If you're flatlining on the hospital bed, that means you're dead. If you're flatlining and not getting any better, guess what, in your life? You're dead. You're useless. God is a God that does. He is not a God of barely getting by or just plain or, hey, let's just exist or let's just be here. Let's just get along. We'll just exist. Astronomers say that the universe is expanding. Now, a God that just made us, you know, a universe, put the earth here, put a few stars, you know, put a few planets here. You know, that's all cool and stuff. But the fact that it's still expanding, and we can't even get to the end of it. More stars are being created. More universes, more galaxies. Have you ever looked? I mean, you've looked at the pictures of our galaxy. It's just a speck of a galaxy amongst many other galaxies. When you think about it that way, it really shows you how insignificant and small we are. But yet God cares. God, He actually cares about little old us. There should come a time in your life where you decide to turn off the cruise control of just following God to throttle to the front and start leading. Okay? And I wrote this down. Watch this. It will require more of you. Okay? When you go from being a hellraiser to just getting saved, now more is required. You have stepped into something that's different. God didn't get you saved just so that you could be saved to go to heaven. He got you saved so that you could be a difference maker. Just because you're not the leader at your job, or just because you're not a preacher standing up here in front of everybody, or you're not the worship leader, or you're not, you know, somebody that's leading Bible study, doesn't mean that you're insignificant and you're worthless. It doesn't mean you should be flatlining and letting everybody else do all the work of the ministry. It's not just the work of the preachers. It's not just the preacher's responsibility or just the band's responsibility. You are designed to grow and to learn and to prosper. You are designed to go out and lead others at your job, in the public places, at the gas station, on those divine appointments. I've had those divine appointments at gas stations. I was reading a book one time at a gas station. A cop was next to me, and he was having a hard time. And this is no lie. It was right here in Liberty Hill. And we got to talking. And I had mentioned a book that I was reading. And he said, "You know what?" He said, "I don't even like to read. But I started reading that book this week." And guess what happened from there? We spent like an hour at the gas pumps. Thank God it was late in the day and not many people there. But you never know when divine appointments like that are going to happen. You never know when you're going to entertain an angel. I don't care if it's a homeless. Now, I know there's a lot of homeless people around Austin. A lot of them ain't homeless. Amen? They're just there, you know, stealing your money. But there's going to be something, somewhere, sometime, where you have a divine appointment. God puts you in the right place at just the right time to meet the right person that needs you more than ever. It will require more of you. What does that mean? That means you have got to learn all of these things associated with God. The praying in tongues stuff, the tithes and offerings stuff, all the stuff associated with being higher and moving up with your spirit man so that you can lead people to Christ. Because when that divine appointment happens, you have to be ready. You followed the Holy Spirit to Christ. Now lead others to Christ. You are no longer at the rear. You are now moving to the front. You may not be at the front yet, all the way to the front, but you should be moving up. You remember those running drills? I don't know. Maybe y'all didn't run cross country. Neither did I. I didn't run cross country either. They had this. They call it the Indian running drill. You run like this. There's a line of you. And then the guy at the back would run. He'd have to run really hard to get to the front. And they just kept running. They just kept running. But eventually, everybody had to lead. You run in a line, you just keep running, and you run for miles and miles, and you just keep running. And then when it finally gets to you to being the last guy, you have to sprint to the front after you've already ran 3 miles. Nobody wants to do that, amen? Not me, and probably most of y'all don't like to do that. Cross country, you know, gurus, they love to do that stuff. But there's got to come a point in your life where you lead. It will require more of you. I'm telling you right now, you cannot just barely get by with Christianity or learning about God's ways of doing things. You have to learn how to read. You have to want to learn how to read. You've got to want it. You got to want it to win it. Amen. You got to want it to win it. You know, cheerleader song. And we want it bad. Yay, you know. You're a cheerleader too? You used to do that. That's how they always do it, you know. I never did that, but you know. I know some people that did. You got to want it to win it though, right? Quit just wanting to win everything that's associated with the world, you know, in your business and all. You got to want to win with Christ. You got to want to win with the Holy Ghost. There ain't nothing like making Holy Ghost your business partner. There is nothing like making the Holy Ghost your partner in everything you do. You have to learn how to win with God. God always wants to talk to you. The problem is you're not always willing to listen. And don't worry, because that's been all of us. There was a long period of time I didn't listen. I always heard him. I heard him talking, but I really wasn't listening because I didn't want to listen. I liked what I was doing. I liked doing those wrong things. Verse 9. Watch this. Talk about prosperity. After hearing the king, they went their way, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went on before them, continually leading the way until it came and stood over the place where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. These people are reaching. They traveled a long ways to get to Jesus. It says when they got there, after entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped. They were so overwhelmed with, oh my gosh, this is the Savior. They didn't even stop and say, hey, we got some prizes over here on our camels. But they're so overwhelmed with God that they just run in and worship Him. Verses 11, and entering the house, they saw a child with Mary, and they fell down and worshiped. Then after opening their treasure chest, they presented to him gifts, and the Amplified says, fit for a king. Now, we know he was the King of Kings. But I'm here to tell you, and they have done research on this, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I'm here, you know, if y'all know anything about frankincense and myrrh, frankincense is really a rare spice. It's very rare. It's probably not as rare now, but back then it really was. You know, you can buy it anywhere. You can get it on Amazon now, right? But when it says they brought him things fit for a king, if you were to research that, and I've heard other ministers research it, we're talking stuff. There's no way that they had enough donkeys to carry it all. I mean, I guess they had to borrow the camels. I mean, I guess they just took the camels too. I don't know. Whatever they brought to them, though, it was so magnificent. Because in those times, if you went to see a king, you brought a treasure chest of stuff. And if you were a king in another region of the area, you brought so much stuff that it was overwhelming. When people would come to see Solomon, they were like, they'd just bring him stuff. They're like, man, we've heard about your wisdom. You know, they were reaching and seeking. He had so much wisdom, this godly wisdom, and people would just come from miles around and bring him stuff. And bring him lots of stuff. Benefits of God. Prosperity can come from unexpected people in overwhelming amounts. People that you don't even expect with overwhelming amounts. Not just, hey, here's $5. Or, hey, here's some money, you know, to buy your lunch. I'm talking unexpected delivery from unexpected people in amounts that you can't even count. Verse 12. And I'm trying to close. And having been warned by God in a dream not to go to Herod, the Magi left in their own country by their own way. So they found another way to go home. So I'll make this one quick. Another benefit of God is He ministers to other people, total strangers, on your behalf. He's talking to the Magi to help protect Jesus, because if they'd have went back, they probably could have got, they might have got there in time to harm Jesus, Mary, Joseph, or whoever. But He ministers to other people on your behalf. Verses 13 and 14. Now when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. Who did it appear to? Joseph. Joseph's still a very important part in this whole scenario. In a dream, and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod intends to search for the child in order to destroy him. So Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. Okay, watch this. Benefits of God. God keeps you from harm. Okay, another benefit of God. He keeps you from harm. Now think about this. In one night. Now we know Joseph was a carpenter, right? Remember Joseph? He was a carpenter. Probably had a carpentry business. You know, Joseph's R Us. You know, Joseph's LLC. You know, Joseph's Carpentry LLC. Building houses for everybody. We're here to help you. In one night, has an encounter with an angel. He has to get up. Okay, I wrote all this down. I had to think about everything. In one night, okay, without planning for it. How many of you could get up, put the keys in the ignition, start the car, and take off. He shuts down his carpentry business in one night, gathers what luggage they have, and I don't know how they got all that stuff that the magic, I don't know, I guess they got to keep the camels, I don't know. Gathered what luggage they have, relocate to unfamiliar territory, and starts life all over for who knows how long. They got up in the middle of the night. They didn't get up and say, I got to make some coffee. We got some traveling to do. Mary, you up yet? No, he said, Mary, I had a dream. And thank God Mary was willing to go, amen? Mary had encounters with angels. So when Joseph was having all these encounters, she was just having to trust him. Because she could have easily said, you know what, Joseph, I mean, I've got Jesus right here. I mean, this is God's son. I mean, who can hurt us? No weapon formed against us shall prosper, right? Who can harm us? I got the real man right here. This is God in the flesh. Mary had to trust Joseph. Wives, are you willing to trust your husbands? Husbands, are you willing to trust your wives? When she come, you know, no, I ain't going to go there. I ain't going to go there. Talk about uncomfortable. You're having an encounter with an angel. You got to get up in the middle of the night, take whatever you can grab, and hit the road. Doesn't even know how long they're going to stay there. Just knows that they have to pack up the camels and the donkeys and hit the road in the middle of the night. So in the meantime, Herod getting mad, you know, Magi didn't come back and report to him about where the Savior was, and so on and so forth. In verse 19, and I'm trying to finish, I promise. The U-Haul angel shows back up. Here we go, pack up, let's go. But when Herod died, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, here we go again, let's pack up the U-Haul. Take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up and took the child and his mother and came into the land of Israel. But when he had heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father, Herod the Great, he was afraid to go there. Then being warned by God in a dream, he left for the region of Galilee. And when he settled in a city called Nazareth, this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Okay? Now, another benefit of God. God will let you know when it's time to move. Okay, now I wrote down a bunch of things as I'm closing. He'll teach you when to move your family. Make a move in your business. Make a move in ministry, if you're a minister. Make a move on ministering to someone. My friends, don't throw the Jesus stick at everybody you meet. Make sure that they are willing to receive what you're about to slap them with. Amen. And most of the time, it's an open door question. Usually when they ask you a question, that's the open door to move. Make a move on blessing someone. Maybe someone needs something and you can afford to pay for it. Make a move on your health. Now, I'm here to tell you, you can always make a move on your health. There is no thing where God's going to show up with an angel and say, hey, it's about time you start exercising. It's not like that. In your health, God always wants you to be taking care of your health. There's not going to be some divine appointment where he just says, all right, now move. Start eating better. Start exercising. It's time to make a move right now on your health. Amen. Make a move on blessing yourself. There's nothing wrong with buying nice stuff for yourself. Amen. What made the move possible was the peace that the angel gave them. He told them to get up and move again. But the reason they were willing to leave Egypt is because the Lord gave them peace about getting up to move. The angel said, it's okay to go back now. The bad guys are dead. You see, it was important that they go back. It was not God's will that they stay in Egypt. Where did Jesus' ministry start? It didn't start in Egypt. God is not an accident God. He operates in order. Jesus' ministry was going to start in Israel. They weren't going to stay in Egypt. Egypt was just a hide-and-seek place, right? Hideout place for a little while. Every move you make, you will have to have peace in your life. If your life is God, you will have peace. You will have peace about that move if your life is God-centered. If your life is God-centered, you're always seeking God anyway. And a lot of times the move's just, it's easy to hear God on it. When you're having a hard time hearing from God on it, maybe it's because you're not reaching enough. Maybe you're not trying to hear from God daily. You don't want to just wait till hell breaks loose to say, all right, God, what do I do now? You want to be in God's divine order of things all the time so that when those bad times come, it's easy to just step off and do what you already know is the right thing to do because you have peace about it. In Acts 17, verses 27 and 28, it says, feeling after God, you don't have to turn there, and finding Him because in Him we live, we move, and we have our being. If you want to write that one down, it's fine. Acts chapter 17, verse 27 and 28. We are feeling after God and finding Him because in Him we move. We just talked about moving. The U-Haul angel showed up a couple of times. Said, hey guys, you got to move. He showed up again. Said, hey, let's go back to Israel now. In Him we move, not just physically, but spiritually and emotionally. We always should be moving, always reaching, always looking up. In Him we move and live. And have our being. We are who we are because of who He is, not because of who we are. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, he said, you're going across the river now. He said, you are going across this river, and I'm going to be a consuming fire to all of your enemies. And it's not because of you, it's because of how evil they were. You don't want to be on that side, amen? You want to be behind the fire, not in front of it, amen? He said, you're crossing this river today because I'm going ahead of you to destroy your enemies in front of you, and you're going to possess this land, not because of who you are, but because of what they are and what they did. He said, I'm going to wipe them out, and you're going to take over. That is who you are in Christ. You are a part of that consuming fire. You are right behind God as He goes before you, removes the problems, so that prosperity can come to you. In Him we move and live and have our being. That is a powerful scripture. Everything you do, everything that you are, it's because of who He is, not because of who you are. You are who you are because you've decided to be who you are. You're dealing with problems right now, it's probably because you've made some bad decisions in the past, amen? You make bad decisions in the past, you reap them in the future. Whatever you're sowing today, you better start sowing some good stuff today so you can reap some good stuff tomorrow. Because if you're sowing bad stuff today, you're going to see it tomorrow. And the coffee ain't going to taste as good as it used to, amen? Learn how to reach for God. For crying out loud, He's reaching for you. Amen? He's reaching for you. He was reaching for you long before you ever reached for Him. He loved you long before you ever loved Him. And you should want Him as bad as He wants you. Amen? With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're not saved today, if you're new here and you never received Jesus as your Lord, I'm closing. We always do this before we leave a church service. The most important thing today is not what I said, not the things that I was saying, but the fact that Jesus is your Savior. He is your only salvation. He is your only opportunity. You can't get to heaven by doing good things. The number one thing that you should know today is that Jesus is the Savior and there is no alternative. You want fire insurance for your eternity? You better receive Jesus, because if you don't, then hell is your destiny. God loved us so much that he separated us from the wicked for eternity. Not just here on the earth, but for eternity. He separated us. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with all of us. We're all going to pray this prayer. Everybody's going to repeat after me. And I would urge you right now, if you don't have fire insurance with Jesus, amen. You don't have fire. If you don't have fire insurance, you better get it right now. Because he is the only way to heaven. I urge you to get serious with God right now and believe this prayer. When you pray this prayer, I urge you to get serious with God and pray it and believe every word that you say. I believe if you pray this prayer that you will go to heaven when you leave this earth. There is no alternative. Don't ever let religion tell you there's alternatives, because there's not. You won't die and leave this earth and then go and float around above the earth in the heavens somewhere. You're going somewhere. You got a one-way ticket to heaven or to hell, one of the two. So I would urge you to get serious with God right now and pray this prayer. Everybody pray it with me. Say it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, and arose again on the third day. And you saved me. I pray this prayer to the Father in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, there's nobody looking around as we're closing. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you received Jesus for the very first time today, all I want you to do on the count of three is just raise your hand. And by raising your hand, you're saying, I prayed that prayer. I meant what I said. I believe what I said. I received Jesus for the very first time today. If that was you, on the count of three, please raise your hand. Nobody's looking around. It's just me. Ready? One, two, three. Go. Is there one? Okay, there's one there. Is there anybody else? You can get your hand up. Anybody? Take that Bible. If you got your hand up, we're going to give you a Bible. Take that Bible right there. If you got your hand up, we're going to give you a Bible. Inside that Bible, there's a little card. If you could fill it out, we'd appreciate it. We just want to call and make sure you're, you know, if you need anything, if you don't, that's great. We just want to, you know, if you got any questions about salvation and what to do next, you know, we can answer those questions for you. Anybody else? Amen. Y'all look at me. Touchdown. Amen. Hallelujah. Just want to say I love you guys. Y'all have a blessed day. Learn how to reach. Amen. Hallelujah.